Hey, everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm super excited for this week's show. We're going all the way back to 1993, baby.
Woo!
To talk about The Three Musketeers, which means I'm joined by my favorite musketeer, Adam Risky.
Come on, D'Artagnan! We're going to save the king!
This movie rules.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I brought these.
Three Musketeers bars!
Fun size, just like this movie.
This movie is fun size,
but
not to be confused with the movie Fun Size.
No.
Which also is pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's the best Jane Levy movie. And I kind of want to get that poster signed at Flashback Weekend.
I admire that.
Because I think the best...
But will Victoria Justice ever do a con?
If, and justice for all, hopefully. No, I...
Justice con!
Yeah, yeah. There's not going to be like a Nickelodeon con.
That no, seems not anymore.
That seems pretty certain. No, but all right. So Evil Dead Remake has the best poster.
Yeah.
The Don't Breathe poster is kind of like, eh.
Yeah. I see where you're going with that.
Don't Breathe is... Don't Breathe is probably the best Jane Levy movie.
Okay.
But Fun Size is like maybe the most rewatchable.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever rewatched Don't Breathe, but I watch Fun Size once a year.
Yeah, Fun Size is good.
Yeah, like these little Fun Size Three Musketeers bars.
Woo!
I
haven't had a Three Musketeers bar in a long time.
They're good.
What's in them?
Nougat.
All right, besides nougat.
That's it. It's literally chocolate and nougat, baby. Chocolate-covered nougat bars
I'll
is what
the... I'll be the nougat in chocolate.
I'll be the wig on your hair.
I'll be the fun in your size.
We're going to do a lot of that.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it all for one.
And one for all. All for one.
Why did Rod Stewart at a certain point cut his hair that way? And then he's like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
This is my hairstyle for the next 40 years.
Because Rachel Hunter liked it.
Okay. I would do
that's probably it. That's
what
probably.
Rachel Hunter told me to do. But I feel like
up.
Even, I know they did, but
yeah.
I feel like even in like the Infatuation video in like the early 80s, he had that haircut.
That's
and
true.
He was just like, this is what I'm going with.
I liked it. Oh, speaking of accents, this will get us in trouble. It won't.
No one does an accent in this movie?
I went to that Mexican restaurant, like that counter service place like Guzman and Guzman.
Yeah.
For dinner tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was a bit, but there was an Australian guy at the
love it.
Who was a cashier.
Yeah. He's like, it's all right.
Yeah, he was totally is all right. It was so like on the nose that I was just like, this is fake or I'm really good at this. It's one of the two. Maybe both. And the check was $14.90, so I gave him $15.
Yeah.
So he gives me a dime and a nickel back, and he's just like, is this raw? I'm still getting used to your change. And I'm just like, can I adopt you? And I'm like, well, you gave me 5 cents too much. He's just like, so the little one's a dime, and that's 10 cents. And he's just like, and the bigger one's a nickel, that's only 5. And I'm like, you got it. And he's just like, I'm still getting used to your change.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Why didn't we get him on the podcast?
Yeah, and I'm just like,
I'll be the fire in your night.
And I'll be the salsa at your bar.
I just want to, like, live his life.
Yeah.
Like, that
getting
sounds
used
better.
To your change.
Schomburg.
Is a dime. I gotta eat my Three Musketeers. Vamp.
Yeah. No, okay. F, Mary, Kill.
Yeah.
These three Bryan Adams soundtrack songs. All for One.
Oh, I already know which one I'm killing.
Everything I Do, I Do It For You.
Yeah.
And Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman?
I know you're a fan of that Don Juan DeMarco bullshit.
I've never seen the movie, but
I know,
song
but
is,
the song. I
the
gotta,
song's incredible.
I'm killing that song.
You shouldn't.
I'm marrying Everything I Do It For You, and I'm effing All For One. All For Love.
Yeah.
What is your... What are you doing here?
I'm polygamy, marrying all of them. I can throw down my polygamy card once a year, and I'm doing it for this. I love that the song is seated in Michael Kamen's score throughout the movie.
I do too. He does that shit with the... is it Michael Kamen that does Robin Hood also? Mm-hmm. He does the same shit, where like every once in a while you'll hear a little bit of Everything I Do in the score.
It's a good move.
Oh, man.
Because
I'm a sucker
when
for
it crescendos at the end and you hear the whole thing.
Right.
It hits.
Yes.
It hits.
They definitely had a formula that they were trying to work with. Like, yeah. Oh, let's do exactly what we did with Robin Hood. It worked, yeah. And it works here, too.
This, I'm going to throw this out there, and we'll return to it later.
Okay.
So, obviously, Three Musketeers is riding the coattails of the success of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It would not exist if it wasn't for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves being, like, the number two movie of that year. I will say this. I think the Three Musketeers is the Wes Craven's new nightmare to Pirates of the Caribbean's Scream.
That was a lot of titles, but I followed it.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Yes.
I love that.
They laid the groundwork.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
It was all for one and one for all.
All right, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are. It's just, I want to talk about this movie more than the stuff that I've seen lately.
Let's talk about what you've seen lately.
Okay.
Have you seen anything good lately?
I have.
Okay.
So I watched a couple movies this weekend, some newer stuff.
I watched a couple movies. One was on Shudder, one was streaming. Yeah.
And it had Sidney Sweeney. And what? The movie was called Immaculate. Yeah.
I'd do it all for Sweeney.
And nuns for all. All for nuns. Let the Immaculate Conception you hold be the one you want.
Everyone has turned off this podcast already because there's way too much singing going on. We're very sorry, everyone. We're excited
episode.
To talk about the Three Musketeers.
But you cornered us into having 99 be the only.
It took us 720 episodes to do a musical show, but here it is.
Yeah!
I did musical improv. I could pull this off. Anyways, yes, yeah. I watched Immaculate this afternoon.
Yes.
I rented it for $10. And
I'm on the fence about renting it for $10.
It's worth $7.
Fuck.
It's not bad.
All right.
It's very well made.
I'm still getting used to your change.
Still getting used to your change. Something about your change, mate.
What do I do for $3?
So is nickels the same value on Sundays? Or does it change? I'm turning into Mike Myers. Shrek 2, back in theaters.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll be the Shrek in your cinema.
Anyways.
I'll be the pop culture reference in your cartoon. And then I saw your face.
No. Anyways, that's where this stops. Anyways, I saw... The White Sox are 3-18. I'm loopy. I'm loopy. So Immaculate was very well made. Sidney Sweeney produced it and stars in it. So I heard some story that was kind of cool where like she auditioned for it and then the movie got put in a turnaround. And then when she became famous enough, she's like, I'm bringing it back because I always wanted to do this movie.
Yeah.
Which is just a shortcut from auditioning. I'm sorry. Earn it. No, anyways, she's good in it. It kind of feels House of the Devil-y a little bit at times.
Okay.
There's a lot of, it's weird because it's like 90 minutes, but it feels a lot like a movie with a first act and a third act and no middle act, really.
Okay.
It could have probably benefited from being longer, but okay. I think the reason why I liked it enough is because it's short.
Right.
Because it just gets in and gets out. I shouldn't have read the spoiler.
Oh,
because I think it's meant to be like really shocking.
Oh, I don't know the spoiler.
Yeah. And
okay.
Hold on. I had to do a fake burp before I did the real burp.
That's a Three Musketeers burp. It is.
Yeah, it is. Font size burp. Anyways. Era. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much more to say about it. It's fine.
So I just have to wait till it drops $3 more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I can do that.
And then I watched Late Night with the Devil on Shudder.
Literally just finished it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it overall.
I did too.
Yeah.
I think the first hour works better than the last half hour.
Agreed. That's why I would say I liked it overall. I didn't. You're waiting for horror movies to go crazy. This mm-hmm. one does. That was the stuff I liked the least.
Yeah, yeah. I think everything leading up to sort of like the centerpiece sequence mm-hmm. is really strong. Mm-hmm. And like their kind of facsimile of a late night talk show from the 70s is good. And David Desmalchin is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely has kind of like vibes of WNUF and
yeah,
that kind of thing. And I love all that stuff.
It's a good vibe movie.
Yeah, it's a very good vibe movie. I love AI art, so I got I got my fix there.
Is AI, is it?
Are these germs AI? What's a Bitcoin? How much is that worth? Is that worth one burrito?
Now I'm going to go to Guzman y Gomez just to hope that I get that guy.
And you're just
and
like,
just completely you, fuck him up.
You
with
put,
the...
you put your palms on the counter and you're like, where's the guy?
Just going to slide a bunch of coins across. Instead of going to Coinstar, I'm going to go to Guzman y Gomez.
Gish it in, brother. Anyways.
One chimichanga, please.
Yeah. Immaculate, not as good as a cup in Coinstar.
Okay.
Like getting that receipt
yeah.
and then taking yeah. it to the cashier and getting your $60
right?
for a cup of coins.
Right. And now you're like, I'm going straight to Half Price Books.
Exactly. Late Night with the Devil, about as good as a visit to Coinstar.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
I liked it. I could see watching it in October.
Yeah. I had a weird thing where I was just like, I can't watch it until it's actually late night.
Interesting.
So I
started it late night. I had to split yeah. it up over two nights.
Yeah. I started it at like 11 and then I went to bed at midnight and then I woke up at like 3:30 in the morning and finished it. Perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been watching a lot of repertory stuff.
Yeah, you have.
So the best thing I saw was Creature from the Black Lagoon 3D.
Was it the best thing you saw?
Of the experiences. You're talking about that one. I'm talking about the ones that are not that one.
Oh, okay. I don't have to talk about that one.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about that one.
I could.
Patrick's implying that, like, he's not implying. Patrick's saying, Adam, idiot, we just watched Waterworld and Elk Grove drink Smash Cut, which is true. I'm just saying I watched the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I wasn't saying idiot. I was saying Adam.
Yeah.
Booby.
I'm your white knight. I want to bring it up because
drink some pee. Drink some pee. Drink some pee.
I love that that's the opening introduction.
It opens with him drinking his urine. Yeah. I took Charlie to see it, and I just was wondering, what's going through his mind right now when I've been talking this movie up, and it opens with him drinking his own pee?
Yeah. So I already have a question about that.
Yeah.
So is he just constantly recycling the same water?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't have, like, more fresh water to drink.
I have so many questions about the logic of Waterworld, because at the end, Mr. Noodles is like, it's fresh, it's fresh.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he say, it's hydro, it's hydro?
Yeah, that's true, it's fresh hydro.
Why do they refer to it as Waterworld when it's just the world? Why does Kevin Costner say, like, mm-hmm. nothing's free in Waterworld? Like, we don't say nothing's free in Land World, we just say nothing's free in the world.
Nothing's free in Land
Why
of
do
bad.
They call it Waterworld?
Why is that movie called Land of Bad?
I don't know.
Did you want people to see it?
The review writes itself.
It's directed by the director of Underwater.
I know.
That's why I kind of
I
need
feel
to
like
see
I
it.
Should see it. But yeah. maybe the writer was the secret sauce in Underwater.
Mm-hmm. I'll take one for Snack Shack. Yeah.
I want to see Snack Shack.
I rented it.
Did
I
you?
Seen
okay,
it
I
yet.
Haven't rented it yet.
It's got Sammy Fableman in it.
I do want to see it. I had another Waterworld question.
Okay.
Like, along the same lines, but I can't remember what it was now. But it has something. Even just, like, dry land. Why do they call it dry land? Wouldn't it just be land?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's fine. It's just some screenwriter shit.
Is it fine?
Shit.
I don't think you think it's fine.
Listen, if I have complaints about Waterworld, they're minimal because that movie plays.
I forgot that at the end where it's the director card that says directed by Kevin Reynolds, that it just crosses out Reynolds and says Costner.
It adds a question mark, like in a to be continued kind of, or like a the end.
Yeah.
Question mark. Directed by Kevin Reynolds. Or was it?
On the days where he was mad at her, he's like, "You're acting more like Tina Minorino right now."
She's good in the movie.
She is good.
She didn't go on to like impress me in anything, but
Napoleon Dynamite.
Nah. And she was on Veronica Mars, and she was fine. But I was annoyed that her name was like Mac, because I don't like any time. I don't like when Anna Paquin says, "Call me Mac," and she's all that. I don't. I'm not buying it. But. Yeah. We're all hopped up on sugar, everyone, because we're eating Three Musketeers bars.
I was going to go to C2E2 next weekend, and it was going to be like the banner guest was Christina Ricci, and I'm like, Gold Diggers, The Secret of Bear Mountains, Christina Ricci. But now I'm just going for the She's All That people, and I feel like I'm the only person who will be at C2E2 going specifically with the headliner for me being Prince and Cook.
Oh, I forgot Cook is there. That's right. Okay. I was like, Jody Lynn O'Keefe? I couldn't remember who else from She's All That was there.
Faint. I had a crush on her. Anyway.
I know, because you were going to have a Casper poster signed by Ricci, and then Devin Sawa was going to be a flashback. It was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing.
Ricci canceled.
I'm sure she'll do a show at some point.
Yeah.
She does enough shows where I feel like I'll catch her at something.
Yes.
I'm hoping for Fan Expo to have Marissa Tomei, because she's making the rounds right now, and she's been at other cities' Fan Expos.
What would you get signed by Tomei?
It has to be my cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
I got to go obvious on that one.
Crazy Stupid Love? We just rewatched that movie. It is so fucking bad, and I forgot that Marissa Tomei was even in it.
Yeah, it was bad then.
Oh. It is such a dog shit movie.
Yeah.
Erica's been on a Gosling kick, so she wanted to rewatch it.
I understand that.
Yeah.
He's very good on SNL.
Yes.
And The Fall Guy looks fun.
I'm excited for The Fall Guy.
I am too.
Don't make me watch Crazy Stupid Love again.
No.
Ever.
No. Creature from the Black Lagoon
3D. That's
the only reason why I bring it up is because the Music Box they were touting these special glasses that they have for the 3D, and they're just like, this is the best 3D you'll ever see.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, it's the best 3D you'll ever see.
Okay.
They know what they're doing.
Like, interesting.
I've
never successfully seen it in 3D.
I've seen it with the red and blue, green.
Yeah, the Anaglow.
The Anaglow polarized lens. I'm just talking. The 3D glasses that look bad. And I've gotten migraines from it. And specifically for Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay.
But these are like akin to the glasses that you would have, like, if you were watching, like, a 3D TV, but better.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, these are expensive. This is, like, almost equipment. Like, treat them well. Don't, like, bend the eye. Like, they were very specific about it. And, I mean, like, it looked great. I was pissed that I missed House of Wax in 3D, because I wanted to see that. Yeah. But it was, like, on a Wednesday night, and I didn't feel like driving. But, yeah, Creature from the Black Lagoon looks so good, and then they preceded it with like a Three Stooges Halloween short.
Amazing.
And there were so many gags in it.
Oh my gosh.
It was like evil doctors with needles pointing out at you, and it was like, wow, he really is going to stab me in the eye with this needle.
Was this like a late era, like Curly Joe?
It was like Shemp.
Oh, Shemp, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or wait a minute, isn't Shemp, like, who are the main three? Curly?
Moe and Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, Shemp was
okay.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Could
they do a 3D Gold Diggers Secret of Bear Mountain screening?
I hope so.
And you sit down.
Just the trailer.
Like, no glasses, right?
Yeah.
And Anna Klumsky breaks the fourth wall and turns to the camera and looks at you and says, he needs his glasses.
Oh, my God.
It's a long way to go to get there. Not sure it was worth
it. Well done. I'm so hoping that they do Freddy's Dead.
Yeah, they should, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your favorite Nightmare on Elm Street? Creeping up there. See what's happening. If Music Box plays it and you go see it in proper 3D, you know it's going to become number one.
Sure. I'm not denying it. I'm just saying right now it's two.
He needs his glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I won't mention why, but, like, you know, I've just been sad for a little while. So I was like, I should watch My Girl. And then I'm like, what are you doing?
Why? Why?
I just was going to lean into it. But then I backed off.
You watched My Girl 2 instead. Sad about Austin O'Brien.
I think I watched the White Sox and I cried even harder.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to cheer you up,
no.
Bro.
No. I watched a couple movies from...
I like movies.
Yeah. the hamsters came back on the wheel. Hold on. I watched a couple movies that you shouted out in your New Beverly calendar episode.
Oh, okay.
So I watched Mothra for the first time.
Okay.
I think it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
The larva, and then it turns into the butter. Is it a girl, Mothra?
I believe so.
Okay.
It makes you wait like a long time
to
see Mothra in her final form.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny when the larva Mothra is just fucking shit up.
The larva Mothra, the two little girls,
two little women
who sing the Mothra song.
Not to be confused with Little Women.
No, that's a great movie, too.
Sure.
I just saw that in repertory for the first time also.
And now it's playing again in 35, and it's like, been there, done that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing that was kind of weird about it was, I didn't know that Gillian Armstrong did like a director's cut of Little Women, and that's what they played. And it was mostly just like the addition of them saying, she's so crazy for this. And I was just like, what? And they were saying,
for a second, I was like, she did? I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And that's what they play. And then
it's like, I'm going to go deliver that family food. And it's like, slay queen. And it's like, really? I don't know.
Let her cook.
Yeah, let her
when
cook.
Claire Danes was crying. They're just like, let her cook.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you won't believe Gabriel Burns' is Riz. Christian Bale's mid.
Why? Whatever. The Gabriel Byrne Winona Ryder stuff is...
I like him in that movie, so
he's
I...
He's fine
I,
in that
I'm
movie,
cool
but it's
together.
Weird. Come on.
It's weird, but like...
Who is it in the
their characters
Gerwig?
Make sense together, though.
If you say so.
I think so.
Who plays Gabriel Byrne in the Gerwig?
It's just a guy.
Just a guy. Yeah. I kind of remember that now that you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I should rewatch the Gerwig one. I was so, like, annoyed by it the first time I saw it because I felt like it was... And directors have the right to do this where they can turn material into something about them as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was too much about her as a filmmaker because it was just like, the most important thing in life is job. I'm just like, in the other one, she had everything. She gets everything. And that's what's so charming about it. It's like, but no, it's just like, get that job at the paper. It's like, okay, Peter Parker.
Get that bag, girl.
Get the bag, girl. So I watched Mothra. I liked that a lot. Of
she
like
did
the.
It off a job.
And then I watched The Black Room.
Ooh, yeah, tell me.
I liked it. It was cool. I like all these like 1 hour Lugosi Karloff offshoot movies.
Hell yes.
They're really fun. Especially because this was pre-code, so it's getting away with some stuff. And it played as a triple feature with a couple other movies, and one of them was The Man They Could Not Hang, and that one was good, too.
That is good.
I saw that, like, a few scary movie months ago.
Don't watch the other one.
Okay, I won't.
It's wacky, but
I'm
not
gonna
very good.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so listen to Patrick's calendar episode.
Thank you.
Of Pure Cinema, and watch those two movies, Mothra and The Black Room. You could watch them in the span of 2.5 hours, probably.
That's like one Waterworld.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the Ulysses cut.
No, that's longer.
Have you seen the Ulysses cut and the theatrical cuts enough where you can tell the difference?
Not at all.
Yeah, I never have that either where I'm just like, I recognize which version I'm watching, unless I know what version I'm watching, which is always.
There was nothing, because I've seen the Ulysses cut maybe twice.
Yeah.
So there was nothing last night during the theatrical cut that I was like, oh, I miss...
Okay.
This thing from the Ulysses cut, you know?
Yeah.
I do not remember CGI shark. And then it pops up and I'm like, holy shit, CGI shark. Like the thing that they cook and eat.
Oh, you mean the thing that they're like cutting up?
Yeah.
That's hanging up? That's at the stunt show also. Like when you're walking in, they got it hanging up.
the big monster that pops out of the water that they cook and eat? Maybe that might have been when you were stretching your legs.
Yeah, I was outside.
It's a bad effect. And I think when I watched the Ulysses cut, I think I was like, that's not in the theatrical. That they just added that Langoliers shit for the Ulysses cut because that is an unfinished effect. Yeah. No, no, no. It's in the movie.
Yeah. Paper. He's just like, oh, I got a jar of paper. Kim Coates. You don't barter with Coates.
Oh, I actually left the theater when Kim Coates came on screen because I was like, I'm safe to leave during this because nothing good can happen.
No, no, no.
What if I was Irish? And Kevin Reynolds was like, sure, Kim Coates, I'm not going to tell you no.
What if I worked at Guzman and Guzman?
I'm still getting used to your change. What is a dime worth? And then you just... You order your burrito. You don't give him anything. And finally, he waits and waits. And he just says, oh, I need that money, Tom.
Like how he went from Australian to whatever Kim Coates is to Irish. Anyways, a couple more.
Yeah.
I saw Footloose for the first time.
Fascinating.
I had never seen it. It was just something that...
One
like,
of those that sneaks by.
One of those
I get
that
it.
Sneaks by.
Is that 84?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was like pretty good.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is solid. I like Lori Singer a lot in it, which I didn't remember that, like, she was... I didn't know she was in Footloose. I was always just like, oh, she was in Warlock. Was that where she started from? Or, like, did she have something else pre-Warlock? And now I know.
Footloose.
She's the woman from Footloose.
Yeah.
And then in Warlock, she's running around at one point looking like an old lady with, like, coins in her mouth. And she's going to Guzman and Guzman to get a burrito.
She just pukes in a coin star.
Exactly. Better movie. Actually, that's a lie. There's no better movie than Warlock. Warlock rules. And yeah, I liked her a lot in Footloose because she's going full, like, I'm so excited, Jesse Spano in it. And Kevin Bacon's just awesome. And, like, it's cool to see, like, an early performance of his because I think... This had to have been, like, his first lead, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, he does, like, Animal House. He does Diner. He does Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of supporting stuff, but I guess this would be, like, his big breakout.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. I enjoyed it. It's very 80s.
Very 80s.
Very, very 80s.
Good Lithgow, good Diane Wiest, good Chris Penn.
Yeah, very good Chris Penn.
Yeah.
And last but not best... Or at least. It's just in the middle.
Yeah.
Rob talked about this movie before. It's Wim Wenders' Perfect Days.
Oh, right.
And I watched it because Rob was just like, it's just about a guy walking around. And I'm like, that's exactly what I want right now. And the guy walking around is the lead actor from the Japanese Shall We Dance, which is like one of my favorite movies of the late 90s.
Okay.
That was real qualified. Favorite movies of the late 90s. But he's good in it, and he's just cleaning toilets and living his life, and he's so crazy for it. And, you know, you're supposed to laugh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to eat a Three Musketeers. Anyway, I'm going to cool down for a second. No, I just thought Perfect Days was really good. If you like Patterson, you would like Perfect Days.
I still haven't seen Patterson, so what do I need to see first?
You should watch Patterson first. It's better, but like, they're both just kind of like these modest people, slice of life. Like, there's a lot of beauty and value into like a life that's not so like outsized and things like that. Just kind of...
I disagree.
The poetry of the ordinary, if you will. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
It just got announced by Criterion. They're putting it out.
They would.
In their latest... it's roundup. They're putting out Risky Business.
It's foofy. It makes
putting
sense
out Perfect Days. I will not be buying Perfect Days.
It's good, but you should. And I wouldn't buy it.
No.
Yeah.
I'll see it eventually. There's like 8 other Wim Wenders movies I need to see first, and then eventually I pretend I'll get around to Perfect Days, but I'll just watch Waterworld again.
There's a big subplot about like the resale value of audio cassettes. Like, there's like a big like market for cassette tapes, and I'm just like, none of this is true. I'm like, you can buy these things for a dime.
Yes, but I don't like that, like, audio cassettes are now being, like, fetishized and, like, they're releasing soundtracks on cassette, and I'm just like, what are we doing? Why are we doing? It's an inferior format in every way.
Yeah, there's hipsters in Perfect Days who are just like, do you know how much this is worth and blah, blah, blah. But he's just like listening to it because like his car is from the time when there's tape decks.
That
like,
I get. If I still had a tape deck in my car, I'd be listening to tapes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now they don't even make cars with CD players, right?
Mm-hmm. I have a CD player in my car, but it was 2013.
The exact same boat.
Don't try to find my car.
You might find mine by accident. It's also a 2013 with a CD player in it.
So let's do the rundown. Perfect Days, good. Footloose, pretty good. Mothra, good. The Black Room, good. Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D, specifically at the Music Box, very good. Late Night with the Devil, good.
Wow.
Immaculate, pretty good.
I feel like you're on a real run here.
Marginal thumbs up. That's 7 thumbs up.
Seven thumbs up, everyone.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what to talk about because... Oh, I could talk about Drive Away Dolls, I guess, even though you talked about it last time you were on.
That's fine. Go for it.
It was, I feel like I held it to too high of a standard because it's a Coen brother.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked cheap and was kind of poorly directed. Okay. So watching it, I was like, is Joel Coen the brains of this outfit? But I did totally understand when you said that you knew which Coen brother was behind the gag in Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This movie is obsessed with dildos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's the most dildo movie that you'll see all year.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside of Jim Jarmusch's Dildo.
Is that a thing?
It's a movie that I assume he's working on with Bill Murray. he just plays a character named Scott Dildo.
Dildo Dagon.
I enjoyed the performances.
Margaret Qualley.
Yeah. Qualley.
Yeah.
And Geraldine Viswanathan. I can't commit it to memory.
Just think it's like a marathon.
But it's more of a Viswanathan.
But it's a Viswanathan.
They were both a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I liked their dynamic and where it went.
Mm.
There was plenty I liked about the movie, but I was a little bit like left cold by it.
It's okay.
Yeah. I don't get the like full on hatred for it that some people seem to have.
Yeah, people are weird.
But I know I didn't like it as much as yourself and JB.
Yeah.
Hey, I watched Men.
Oh, okay.
By Alex Garland. So I saw Civil War last week. Really liked Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Was on kind of an Alex Garland mood.
You were in a move.
I wanted to move away from Civil War, and realized the only movie of his that I had not seen is Men. Mm-hmm. So I watched Men, and I didn't really like Men. I don't know if I like horror movies that are only a metaphor.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that the movie suggests that what happens at the end isn't a metaphor and that it really happened, but it didn't make it better for me.
Yeah. I remember the movie lost me when it turned into the rushing nesting doll.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
That was, I was like, how long is this going on for?
I guess like,
The last line of the movie made me laugh, but I think that's more just out of like exasperation where I was just like, okay, sure.
I don't remember the last line.
It was just something where like a character returns and he's been like emotionally manipulating her for such a long time. And then like he basically is just like proven to like have learned nothing.
Yes.
That I thought it was sort of, maybe it was the delivery or like the lead up to it. It landed as almost a joke, and it made me like nervously or like kind of confoundingly laugh at that point.
I mean, I appreciate that sentiment because I think there's a lot of truth there.
Yeah.
I'm not rejecting the message of the movie, which is that men are awful.
Yeah.
I'm on board for that as a self-hating man. but almost none of it worked for me.
Yeah.
Like I was.
It looks nice.
And what's her name is good, Jessie Buckley. Like, yeah, she's always totally fine.
Yeah, it's definitely my third favorite of the three that I've seen. I haven't seen Civil War yet, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
There's only four?
Yeah. Yeah. Of the stuff he's directed.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I'm all in on Annihilation.
Right.
I think that's my favorite.
And then I think that would probably be my favorite as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Men was kind of a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
What else should I talk about? I rewatched Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Because of the SNL
thing? Yeah.
Yeah. How does that hold up?
Funnier than I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was not expecting this.
I thought it wouldn't date very well.
Yeah.
Because it's such a product of the 90s.
Mm.
But I'm...
A product of the 90s.
I'm a product of the 90s. And when Butthead says, like, come to Butthead, it's funny.
I laugh like that. But for when the old woman's just like, there's so many slots in Vegas, you won't know where to begin. And he's just like, Butthead, this chick is cool.
Yeah. Those two make me laugh. Like,
they're very funny.
The supporting stuff I didn't find as funny. Robert Stack wanting to, like, give everyone a cavity search. I was like, okay, it's not really funny once, much less 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered more of it than I expected because it was probably the third time I've ever seen it. The DVD looks like true garbage.
Yeah.
It's like a weird – it's so – desaturated and shitty looking, but I'm never gonna like upgrade it to a Blu-ray because why would you?
It probably will not look all that much better as a Blu-ray because it was meant to look kind of crappy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they just announced South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut in 4K, and I'm like, how much better is that movie going to look?
Sure, yeah,
what are we doing?
Yeah,
the last thing I guess I'll talk about is I rewatched American Gigolo.
Okay, I've never seen that one.
It's so it I'd only seen it once and it was years ago, but I heard Call Me by Blondie on the radio and I was like, I feel like rewatching American Gigolo, and I found it streaming through like Showtime through Apple TV or whatever. And it starts and I'm like, oh, is this like sneaky the best movie ever made? It's that Apocalypse Now thing.
Yeah.
And the first half is, like, pretty good. It's just the life of Richard Gere as this gigolo dating these older women. And I'm super on board, super interesting character study. And then it becomes, like, more of a mystery slash thriller because he gets framed for a murder. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm not really into any of this.
Yeah.
And so the second half lost me. I think it's worth seeing just for the Richard Gere performance and sort of the 80s of it all.
Isn't it on Prime right now?
It might be.
Okay.
I'll find out.
I thought I just saw that it was. Speaking of which.
Yes.
Call Me, Heart of Glass, Rapture, FMK.
What's Rapture?
I can't sing like Debbie
We
Harry.
Sang so much.
She's like.
Already. Okay, I know that one. Okay. I'm going to kill that one.
Okay. See, I can't sing like Debbie.
You absolutely can. I'm going to marry Heart of Glass and F Call Me.
Okay.
Where are you at?
I'm going to marry Heart of Glass, K Call Me, F Rapture.
Interesting.
Or no, I take that back because she does all the scatting in Rapture. I will K Rapture.
It appears to only be streaming through Showtime on like either Paramount Plus or Apple TV or whatever.
I'm imagining things.
No, it's real annoying. They are putting it out on 4K though. That news recently came out that Arrow is going to be putting it out. Arrow. Yay. I'm so excited.
No.
You're
like Laurie Singer in Footloose.
So, not as good as Breathless early 80s Gere.
Well, not much. Not many movies get better than Breathless.
But I think it's still worth seeing as a Gere fan.
Yeah.
This was kind of his breakout, and he's very good in it. And surprisingly, I don't think the movie is, because it came out in, I think, 1980, so it might as well be the 70s. I don't think it's actually very dated. I think it held up really, really well. Nice. It's just the thriller stuff didn't work as much for me.
Have you seen some of his like 2010 stuff that's really like the really good ones, like Norman and Arbitrage?
These are not movies that exist.
They're good.
Arbitrage I've heard of. Norman is definitely something you made up to trick me.
I saw it at Marcus Addison.
Oh my God, you saw it on the big
myself
screen?
At 10 in the morning.
Why do we always have to be greeted by the CEO of the company now when we go to the movies? I got Chris Johnson in one ear. I got Jeff Marcus in the other. Enough already.
Yeah, they all look the same.
Barney AMC doesn't hit me up every time I go to South Barrington.
Is it weird that every time I see either one of those CEOs, they just look like Rory Kinnear?
He played all three Musketeers. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Let's have it.
Half Price Books Hall.
Yes. Okay.
As is custom before I come here to record.
I love it.
So I finally own a copy of The Crush.
Full screen, I believe, if not mistaken.
It's a snap case.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's widescreen.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go on record.
Yeah.
The Crush is the second best Alicia Silverstone movie.
You are... Well... Okay.
It's skeezy.
I would disagree because I love Blast from the Past.
Oh, I take that back. It is the third best Alicia Silverstone movie.
Now I might be on board with
you. Okay. And she's really funny and good in this movie.
It's insane.
It
is. I just saw it for the first time pretty recently.
Yeah, it's one of the best of those like batshit crazy 90s thrillers.
Yeah.
Okay. I finally own a copy of The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Nice. The OG. Original.
I've seen it before. It's wonderful.
It's very good.
I wanted to have a copy of it.
Yeah.
This is a movie that I've never seen.
Okay.
And have meant to see since 1993. It is Sniper with Tom Berenger and Billy Zane.
So this just came up on a We Hate Movies because they were debating how many Snipers are there. Like,
there's got to be like
sequels?
Six or seven.
I think there's eight.
Holy shit.
And Berenger's in maybe two or three of them.
Okay. I know Billy Zane, I think, is just in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw it opening weekend with my dad at One Schaumburg.
Okay.
Have not seen it since. Couldn't tell you one fucking thing about it.
Who directed it? Luis Losa of The Specialist. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. He got The Specialist because of Sniper.
They loved his work on Sniper.
And then I finally own a copy of Kindergarten Cop, which I did not. Although...
That one is full frame.
Shit, it is full frame. Fuck.
Because it only existed full frame on DVD.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's one of the most intense kids movies ever made.
It's insane.
Yeah. Like, the beginning is super violent and scary, and I remember. And even, like, the villains in it, they go hard.
Yeah.
Richard Tyson doesn't fuck around.
No.
No.
Doesn't, like, a school, like, get set on fire at the end of the movie?
Yeah, but it's kindergarten, so it's just like, you know, nobody was in the building.
But it's good. It's from, it was a divorce movie.
Yeah.
Because it's from that same period, so I have memories of, like, going to see it at Stratford Square, RIP, with, like, Predator 2 and The Rookie and, like, all those movies from 1990 that all came out around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I love it as, like, a study in Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, perfectly understanding his persona.
Yeah.
And how to, like, tweak it just enough to like be hilarious, because I think it's a much better use of him than Twins. I'm not a big Twins guy.
Okay. I haven't seen Twins in a long time.
Kindergarten Cop I think is pretty awesome.
Okay. Yeah, both are better than Junior does,
which
not
I still
hold
have
up.
Not seen.
I tried rewatching it for 94 week and it just did not take.
It's no Little Rascals is what you're saying.
Hey, that's your island, not mine. I'm on plenty on my own.
Just wait until you rewatch it and you're like,
sure. Sure.
Bro was right about this one.
And you're like, and I'm voting for Trump. It's like, why the change of heart? You're like, I saw the Little Rascals.
He sold me on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's talk Three Musketeers.
All right.
The candy bar.
Oh, okay.
The fun size candy bar.
Nougat.
Chocolate covered nougat.
Yeah.
It's got chocolate. It's got nougat. What else do you need? I did not grow up with this movie, although it was a rental for me when I worked at Blockbuster. This was one of my free rentals. I saw it. I remember being like, whatever. And then a few years ago, bought the Blu-ray from the Disney Movie Club, because it's a Disney Movie Club exclusive.
Okay.
Showed it to my kids and was like, holy fucking shit, this movie rips.
Yeah.
And every time I think about it, I'm like, Stephen Herrick. Sneaky good, that guy director.
Come on. I've said
this
before.
But he's not. I know, but he's not, because we went through the filmography, and it's like Bill and Ted good, Critters decent, Three Musketeers awesome.
Yeah.
What else is there?
All right, so I wrote down his entire filmography because I was going to do better.
Oh, okay, we can wait. We can wait.
But I think that he's got four movies I'll go to bat for.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We'll come back to it, yeah. But maybe I'm forgetting one.
And four out of 11 ain't bad. Three, six.
Because every time I think about it, 10. I start looking at the resume 11. And I'm like,
Yeah,
no.
He's got some dog shit ones.
Yes.
Yeah,
but he does great work on Three Musketeers.
He does, yeah. I didn't grow up with it either. It was a movie that I have vague memories of it being on pay-per-view and like me being close to renting it and just not doing it.
Like
and
me
then,
with Immaculate.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And it was playing when Sony Theater's Rolling Meadows opened. It was like one of the first weekend movies.
Okay.
But then so was Addams Family Values and then A Perfect World. So I saw those two and I didn't see Three Musketeers. And I don't know why I'm going through the autobiography of Adam.
Addams Family opened one Schaumburg.
Yeah.
Addams Family Values opened Rolling Meadows.
I think they need to make another one just so they can
open
another
a fucking theater. Yes,
yeah,
please. We need more theaters.
We do, yeah. But I remember I watched this as a Seen Anything Good Lately pick for a movie that we did a show on like 2-3 years ago. And okay. I don't remember which movie. But I was like blown away by how good it was.
Yes.
And this was only my second and third time ever seeing it, but I had like a, because I watched it twice, but like I had a memory in my head.
You did it all for one.
I did it all for one.
All for love.
I needed to watch it once for Rod Stewart, once for Sting, and once for Bryan Adams. But I had like this strong memory for years where I'm just like, this movie's, yeah, it rips. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And like this time when I watched it, I was just like, yeah, it's so much fun. And it's like, I don't know. It just reminded me so much of the first Pirates movie. Not as good, but
right.
Like it definitely sets the stage for like, this is how you do these, you know, chase sequences. And like, this is kind of how you have the banter and
right.
Everything like that. And yeah, it's, and like, I guess you could say like Jeffrey Rush's performance is sort of similar to like the Tim Curry performance in a certain
way.
Yeah,
I could see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, they're villainous, but they're like always on the edge of being kind of silly and
right.
Comedic and everything like that. There's one thing, I don't mean to cut to the end right away.
That's fine.
But I had a memory from the first viewing that Tim Curry gets hit in the head with an oar, falls in the water, and drowns because they don't save him. And now I'm wondering if, so the King of France punches him.
Right.
Knocks him out into
right.
the water.
Right.
Do you think they went and got him?
No.
I wonder if they did or didn't.
But we don't see or
no.
hear from him again.
No, we don't.
So he's gone.
Yeah.
He lives in Waterworld now.
It just makes me
he's
like...
He's the Mariner.
I don't know why. It just always bothered me that it's like, I don't want somebody to be knocked out into water and then they never wake up in the water.
Yeah, let's assume he wakes up and
okay.
he gets arrested.
And he's
arrested.
Jailed.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I could see that.
Like if he... If
there's
he,
a deleted scene where he... is arrested, you know.
Like if they had the oar
yeah.
and they lopped his head off and then he would just be like, well, my head's off. I might as well go in the water. Like that's fine.
Sure.
Or if like he gets shot.
Dark ending for a PG really rated Disney movie, but sure.
Or if like he goes out Vic Deacon style where like a broken arrow hits him right in the stomach and then he goes in the water. He knows that he's not going to get back up from
right.
the water. But, like, this one, it's just like, oh, I just got punched once. But it's just like, well, I'm pretty tired.
At some point, Tim Curry's character should have said, ain't it cool?
It would have been on point. Yeah. Or on brand, on point, whatever.
I think in 93, yeah. I was a little too cool for school because I was that age.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I guess in high school
mm-hmm.
and seeing, you know, True Romance and an Acolyte of Tarantino. And I think my resistance to going to see this in theaters was like, oh, they're doing the Three Musketeers, but like with Brat Packers. Why do I need to see that?
Yeah.
And now I'm of an age where I'm just like, no, I love all these actors.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not want to see them together in an adaptation of The Three Musketeers?
Yeah, Leonard Maltin derisively called it Young Swords.
Not a good joke, Leonard.
No, because it doesn't flow well.
I get that two of them were in Young Guns, but
yeah.
like, what are we doing? And this two of them were in Flatliners. You didn't make a fucking Flatliners joke.
There's Flatliners. There's Sense of a Woman reunion. Anwar and O'Donnell.
Anwar, I forgot.
Yeah.
I just rewatched For Love or Money, by the way.
Yeah.
Anwar should have been a big star.
See, I thought that she was better when I was younger than I do now.
Okay.
Maybe she's just not given enough to do. In Sense of a Woman, she's great in that one scene.
Yes. And but I think she has nothing to do in Three Musketeers. No, she's just damsel in distress.
It bothered me when she was having her conversations with Julie Delpy because I can only see Julie Delpy as Celine from the Before trilogy. So she's just like, I don't understand how I feel about this. I'm just like, just wait for Ethan Hawke. Like, Chris O'Donnell like doesn't need this bullshit. That her shit is bullshit, but like, you know.
Have you seen For Love or Money?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rewatch it and you'll be totally turned around on Anwar.
All right.
And Body Snatchers. Those two together, I think.
Who's the third wheel in For Love or Money?
British guy.
It's just a British guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Uninteresting British guy. Not Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. They could have named his character not Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Fun fact about Anwar with Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
She got cast when she was shooting Scent of a Woman, and there's a story where she went up to Al Pacino on the set, and she's just like, I got cast on Three Musketeers, and he just goes, Duma!
My eyes see Charlie Sheen!
Which, all right, I know we're jumping all over the place. Charlie Sheen, they said that he was up for, like, they considered him for the role of Porthos.
Yeah,
he makes so much more sense for Porthos, but I don't want to lose Oliver Platt.
I don't either. I had tweeted something out about Three Musketeers, and a lot of people jumped in to talk about how much they loved it, and I was like, that's great to know that this is a movie that people really like.
Yeah,
a lot of people talking about, like, oh, Charlie Sheen, he's so funny, I love Charlie Sheen in this movie. And two things. One, I don't totally agree. I just feel like he's a little bit stranded without a part to play. He's, for me, the least interesting of the titular Three Musketeers.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He would have crushed it as Porthos, but I am with you 100% that we can't lose Oliver Platt.
Mm.
And I get that there's something funny about Charlie Sheen playing the most devout religious one and like, ha ha ha, because it's Charlie Sheen.
But he still has like a couple scenes where he's like wooing women.
Yes.
So I think that it's like he deliberately wanted to be cast against type. And he's just like, you know, he's like, Steven, I don't want to be Porthos. I want to be Aramis.
Yeah.
I want to show that I can act. I want to be like real serious in this. But then he's just like, Stevie, can I get one scene where I'm kissing some chicks?
I'm still horny.
He's like, Stevie, two scenes where I'm kissing chicks.
Between We Hate Movies, devoting an entire month to Charlie Sheen movies.
Yeah.
And Rosalie's comment last week about, I was talking about how I kind of wished Sheen had played the Estevez part in Repo Man.
Okay.
And she just casually tossed off like, well, yeah, he's one of your guys. And that has stuck with me all week. I'm like, Charlie Sheen is one of my guys. I didn't realize this.
He's very good.
But I'm a big Charlie Sheen guy.
Yeah, he had a good run.
And I like him in almost everything. And I'll see basically any movie if he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of this. This was a revelation for me.
Isn't that always great when you realize somebody's like one of your guys or your gals?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I'm happy about it. But so to watch Three Musketeers and be like, oh, he's giving my least favorite performance of the main three, was a bit of a letdown, even though I don't dislike him in the movie.
Yeah.
He's just not, he doesn't have the steely intensity of a Kiefer Sutherland.
No.
Damn it. And he's not Oliver Platt, you know, so.
Yeah. I like when Kiefer gets stabbed in the arm by Wincott and he just goes, ah, 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 for like 1 second. I'm like, mirrors. There it is.
Kiefer gets credit for having his own hair.
Yeah.
He's the only one who's not wigged up.
Yeah.
And he deserves credit for that.
All right. So I don't mean to like try to put a hat on a hat of like the your guy, my guy thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm starting to realize that I'm a bigger Kiefer guy than I ever thought that I was.
Okay. I love it.
Because even in a performance like this where he's not like playing a villainous part or doing anything where he's like peacocking necessarily, like I think he's so underrated in roles like this.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking also, like, in Young Guns 2, like, he's kind of just the glue guy. He's like, let me just kind of lend some gravity to the proceedings. And
you... Always my favorite in Young Guns 2. Yeah. Doc was always my guy.
Yeah. And then also, I think I'm a card-carrying member of the Chris O'Donnell fan club.
This is where we part ways. I have nothing against Chris O'Donnell. He's just not one of my guys.
I think this is like the performance... where he walked so Robin could run.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Like, I have to think that, like, he probably got Robin because of this in large part.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. Because I think he's, like, in both parts, I think he's, like, really good. Even though my thought of him is always that he's, like, this square, like, polo shirt actor. But in these two parts, he's a bit of a rascal. And I think he does it well.
He... to me, is always going to be a little bit of a mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah.
I just find him a little bit bland. I wish he had a little more edge to him.
Sure.
He works in this movie because I think the other three guys all do have an edge to them.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with him being kind of squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to, like, Robin, I wish he had a little more edge. You know, the edge of, say, a Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
There's a lot of edge to Robin.
So... these Smash Cut screenings, you know, we do them once a month. And I did Batman back last October, and then we did Batman Returns in December, and then we did Batman Forever in March.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like we have to do Batman and Robin because we've done the other three, and we have to do Batman and Robin. And wouldn't it be so fun and funny to, like, program that movie, see it on a big screen? And a bunch of people said they would come back, so I was like, fucking A. I convinced our friend Mike to book it. And last night before Waterworld, they showed the trailer, and I was just shrinking in my seat, just like, what did we do?
Dude, because it'll be fun.
It will be a blast, but, like, those lines are rough.
Yeah.
But it's going to be rough.
You know that going in.
I was shrinking during Dangerous Minds, too, and I had nothing to do with programming that shit, so.
What about Bushwhacked?
Bushwhacked, I've never seen. It didn't look. Super funny.
Is fun.
Is it? Okay.
I think it's fun.
The trailer wasn't cracking me up, but...
Well, you and I go... it's a fork in the road. I laugh at almost everything Daniel Stern, so...
I like Daniel Stern.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking up if Bushwhacked is streaming right
Duma!
Now.
Alexander!
My eyes see Delpy! it's not streaming anywhere, Bushwhacked.
I have a DVD. I can loan it to you at some point if you would like.
I mean, if I saw it at Half Price Books, would I buy it? Yes, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else do you love Kiefer in? Let's get back to this.
I mean, the thing that made me think of this was one of the rep screenings I saw recently was I saw The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'm just like, he's just so good at, like... And maybe this is an unfair comparison, and, like, it's like Billy, or it's Billy Worth, Alex Winter, Duff McKagan.
The other guy, yeah, right.
I don't know. It's not Duff McKagan.
And Laddie.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate Laddie. Laddie sucks. Laddie should be fired out of a cannon. No offense to Laddie.
No, he's not listening. It's fine.
Yeah. But, no, I was just like, and Jason Patrick, too, I was just like, if you put Kiefer up, in comparison to those, he's got so much screen presence and he can do so much with so little. And, like, he's just, I don't know. He's just, like, interesting no matter what he's doing in a movie. So I just really appreciate Kiefer Sutherland as an actor.
Never phones it in.
No.
Have you ever seen the movie he directed?
What's it called?
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
No. Isn't that with Renfro and Kevin Bacon?
No. That's Telling Lies in America.
Okay.
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico is kind of a post-Tarantino guys with guns. Vincent Gallo is in it.
Ooh.
It's pretty rough.
Okay.
It would have been on our Tarantino ripoffs episode if we ever subjected ourselves to that. Yeah. By the way, talk me out of rewatching Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead, because between coming around on Andy Garcia a lot in recent months.
Sure.
And this Anwar thing, I'm like, I definitely need boat drinks. I definitely have to listen to Critical Bill say, I am Godzilla, you are Japan. And I'm like looking up used DVDs and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to own this movie. So if it's streaming, I'll find it. But I'm not I've seen it too many times. I've seen that movie probably 5 times. I owned a Laserdisc of it. I have never liked it.
It's not the Flutter. It's not the Flutter.
No, it's not.
I mean,
what is the Flutter?
Kiss the Girls?
No. Did he do Runaway Jerry?
Yeah.
That was the fucking Flutter, right there.
Friday Night Double Feature.
Yes.
We watched Don't Say a Word and Runaway Jury. I liked one of those.
Did we call it Flutterheads?
It was something like that, yeah.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah. I think it was either that or like Flutterwetter.
Either one is good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's weird. I feel bad because we're doing an entire episode on Three Musketeers.
It's streaming on Showtime, so I don't have to buy it.
Sweet.
I can just watch it on Showtime.
There you go. Do you prefer Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or Three Musketeers?
So that's a difficult question to answer.
Okay.
Because Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves meant more to me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it way more times.
Yeah.
It was a very formative movie for me in terms of when it came out and how many times I saw it that summer, and I owned the VHS and watched it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
At the age that I'm at now in 2024, if you put them both in front of me, I'm probably going Three Musketeers because Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves would be the nostalgia pick, but I think I enjoy Three Musketeers more. I just think it's lighter and more fun.
Yeah, I
which
agree
is not
with
a knock against
more fun.
Prince
yeah.
of Thieves.
I think Prince of Thieves like hits better as an action movie.
Sure, I can see that.
But, and I wrote this down. I just wrote, I love adventure movies because there's not like a lot of adventure movies. There was more like in the 80s and 90s, but like that it almost doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Like it's always couched in something where it's like, but it's a superhero or, but it's, you know, an action movie primarily or something like that. But like if you had like a specific adventure section, like that's where Three Musketeers goes. And like, I just sort of have a lot of nostalgia for like anytime like there's a Disney movie with swords and shit, like I fucking love it.
Of course.
Yeah.
When we do get a potential adventure movie, it's Jungle Cruise and they find a way to completely fuck it up.
I wrote there's nothing like Disney sword play.
So true though.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Would you consider like the Phantom adventure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely adventure. Dick Tracy adventure.
Okay.
Like any of those like radio serials movies.
The Shadow even?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's adventure. Indiana Jones adventure.
Okay. Did you notice
The Jungle Book 94, the good one?
Which I've never seen. The Stephen Sommers?
So good.
Okay.
The Mummy adventure.
Is that on Disney Plus?
No, but I can loan it to you.
Motherfuck.
Yeah.
Someone named Mutt Lang had something to do with Waterworld. Did you notice that in the credits?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Or was it the credits for Three Musketeers? Somewhere recently was somebody like, he has a first name and then Mutt in quotes, and then his last name is Lang. And I just think
I
of you
it.
Because of Mutt. R.I.P. Mutt.
Aw. R.I.P. Mutt. It's funny because I didn't really have any like fandom for Mutt Williams. But then
Williams. Wait, I thought his name was Mutt Lang. Forget it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought you thought I loved Mutts. But anyways.
His name's Mutt Williams. Yeah. I was like, his name's Mutt Lang. I thought they had the same name. That's why I brought this whole thing
you're
up.
You're like, douchebag, Mutt fucking Lang.
What do you want me to do with this?
Yeah.
I got the name Mutt.
So I didn't dislike Mutt as most people did. But then I didn't really like Mutt in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but then when I saw what they did with his character in Dial of Destiny, I like was offended on his behalf where I'm just like, that's crass. I don't like that.
Yeah. It's bullshit. I cannot find the Jungle Book streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
What is happening?
I'll loan it to you. It's really good.
I appreciate that, but like, what are we doing?
It's so good.
Stephen Sommers used to make adventure movies.
Yeah, he did.
He's been in director jail.
Oh, yeah, because of what?
G.I. Joe? Was that his last movie? 2009?
He did Odd Thomas after that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not like the movie that would get you in. That's when you're in director's jail. You direct.
Meanwhile, G.I. Joe is better than any Transformers movie.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or any of the G.I. Joe sequels that followed.
Do you like Tim Curry in this?
Yeah.
I like him in this, but I don't think that it's weird because he's clearly... Tim Curry's talented enough where he's not like doing a different performance. Like he's not, I don't think he's riffing on Alan Rickman and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, but it's close enough where like, you're just like, that's kind of, it's the same flavor at Baskin Robbins that he's going for. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this movie needs a villain that's a little bit more threatening. Like I think
that's why the Wincott is there.
Yeah, but he seems kind of deballed a little bit in this Wincott? Movie. To me, he does.
He's de-eyed.
De-eyed. Yeah, he's de-eyed.
That's just how I say it when somebody gets killed. I'm like, oh, he de-eyed.
He's giving straight Didymus.
I will never be able to not see that, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. No, but I just think that this is like a... Is the movie PG-13 or PG? I can't remember.
I think it's PG.
Okay.
Even
this
though
movie
people
feel...
are flinging themselves off a cliff.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw like on IMDb's trivia, they're like, this is the first suicide in a Disney movie. I'm just like, are you counting? Like, you were counting? Are you counting? Anyway.
Not counting Bambi's mom.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Imagine the look on my face when I found out Bambi was a dude. I always thought it was a girl.
Oh, yeah.
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 Anyways.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Bambi's mom.
R.I.P. Bambi's mom.
No, but the, yeah, we got to talk about Oliver Platt. We got to talk about De Mornay. But let me finish with the Tim Curry, Michael Wincott thing.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie needs PG-13 or R-rated villains, and it has PG villains, so it doesn't feel as threatening. Even though what they're doing ostensibly is threatening.
Yeah.
But I just don't... Tim Curry always seems like he's kind of like tongue-in-cheek a little bit to me.
Yeah,
so that's why...
I could see that.
That's why I don't know.
No, I could absolutely see that. I find his performance in keeping with the spirit of the movie that they're making, because it is kind of a kiddie version of it, you know, in terms of the tone.
Yeah, it's not like wildly off. I just think it's like just a little bit too tongue-in-cheek.
By the way, I said it's like the kiddie version in terms of the tone, but that does not apply to any of the Kiefer Sutherland, Rebecca De Mornay stuff who are in a fucking Shakespearean drama.
Yeah. That character, like, I haven't read the Duma, but, like...
Duma!
But,
I see Duma!
Like, William Sadler in Shakespeare, he's like, check it out, dumbass. He's like, it's Duma. Anyways.
That movie's good.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Alamo, for not bringing it back for your 94 series.
Well, there were other more important movies they had to
like Clifford.
Show. Yeah. Which has a cult following,
it's
but
fine.
I haven't seen it.
I saw Little Women and Interview with the Vampire for the first time in theaters thanks to that, so I'm not upset.
Yes, this house is cursed. No, sorry, just this house is cursed. This house is cursed. And yes, your master is the devil.
Keep going.
No, that's it. That's the only line I know.
Yeah, no,
it's the I Need That Money, Tom, of Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's a few other performances we definitely need to talk about. So the Shakespearean drama-ness of it all with like De Mornay and with Kiefer and stuff like that. Like I feel like De Mornay is so, there's no one like her. Like she's so like specific. Like she's just, she comes in and it's just like hot, but too hot in a like, no, back off, you're weird way. Like she's like, there's nobody who's like really throwing out that energy like she did in the early 90s.
We were spoiled with that type.
Yeah,
I've talked about this before, the Ellen Barkins, Teresa Russell's, Rebecca De Mornay's of the world.
Yeah, but Rebecca De Mornay is the only one of the three who I would believe really in real life smeared poo on the wall.
But there is no one like them anymore.
No,
who's just I don't even know how to describe it, but they were so...
Emma Stone and Gangster Squad?
I mean, maybe. I like Emma Stone, but like... Yeah. It's true of the male actors too. Like, no one exudes sexuality anymore. Yeah. Not just because we've gotten rid of sex in movies. Like, you can exude sex and not be in a sex scene, but like, no one does.
There's nobody in movies.
They're
today.
All The Rock.
Yeah. There's nobody. I don't care how big and muscular you are. I don't care if you're on the Marvel diet. I don't give a shit. There's nobody in movies today who could beat Jim Belushi in a bar fight. And that's a problem with movies today.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. He wouldn't. It wouldn't be a decisive victory.
Yeah.
It would take 37 minutes.
Yeah.
But he would knock you down finally.
That's the thing about Belushi is he's willing to go to minute 38.
Yeah, he is. That's why all According to Jim episodes are 38 minutes. De Mornay's just cool. I just like her in movies. And I just rewatched Hand That Rocks the Cradle. And she just goes for it. And like these, doesn't matter what it is.
I absolutely really need to rewatch. That was the one I wanted to rewatch in the run up to my 90s marathon piece that I wrote. Because I rewatched a couple, like Copycat and Fatal Instinct and something else. And I was like, didn't get back to Hand That Rocks the Cradle because I don't think I've seen it since the theater.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it since video. It doesn't age well in terms of like its politics, but it's still effective.
Women Be Crazy? Is that what we're talking about?
It's very indelicate about sexual abuse.
Oh, got it.
It's very indelicate about people with special needs.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, so...
I remember Julianne Moore in a greenhouse. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it falls on her.
That's what I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I didn't even know who Julianne Moore was.
No, that's where I knew her from.
But she was also in Body of Evidence. She was like a weird supporting player in these fucking 90s thrillers before.
So much of the greenhouse falls on her that she was picking out glass in future movies when I saw her. Like, it was finally gone by Boogie Nights.
The end of the affair. She's just... yanking shards out of her face.
She's like, looks like fucking Clive Barker movie. She's just like, I'm going to get this out of my cheeks. She's just like, I've got flowers in my back from The Mummy and Tales from the Dark Side.
Yes.
I got glass all over me.
I forgot about the flowers in her back.
No.
Who would do that to Julianne Moore?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not cool.
But yeah, for me, Oliver Platt's the MVP of the movie.
Of course.
I mean, it's written to be the MVP of the movie.
He's the MVP of almost anything he's in.
Yeah.
Truly. Like, and I remember Flatliners coming out, and I knew every single actor in that cast, except for him. And I was like, who's this fucking guy?
No.
I know Kevin Bacon. I know William Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
I know everyone except for this guy. And now, like, he's the one who would convince me to see any movie.
Yeah, totally. He's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing better than him, like, giving the lowdown about wenching.
And he does this particular, like, performance. He gives a similar performance in, like, The Ice Harvest, which is a super underrated movie.
Yeah.
Lake Placid, he gives almost the exact same performance, and he's so fucking fun in that movie.
Yeah.
He's, like, not... conventionally handsome. He's a fine looking person, but he's not Charlie Sheen or Kiefer Sutherland, you know, like he's not a hunk, and yet you absolutely believe him pulling the most.
He's pretty
women.
He's sexy, not pretty.
There it is, because he's so charming and charismatic and likable and like everything. So in all of these movies, when he is constantly hooking up with people, you're like, yeah, I buy it. Oliver Platt has mad riz.
He's the Maggie Gyllenhaal of it all.
She's making a remake of Bride of Frankenstein.
She is. I'm curious
about
it. It's
the Dark Universe.
Yeah, and Scott Cooper's making a Bruce Springsteen movie with Jeremy Allen White as Bruce Springsteen.
He
made the Nebraska album.
I can wait.
You know who's weird in this cast?
Wait.
I don't know his name.
Oh, then I don't either.
The guy who plays the King of France.
Yeah, he's super weird.
He looks like if Crispin Glover played Pinocchio.
Yeah, it's a weird reveal because they talk about him first and then he shows up and it feels like he's Prince Valium from Spaceballs and you're just like, what's that? Why did they land on that guy?
It does look real silly. And I'm just like, is he wearing a... No. He has a weird nose. Is what I was gonna say.
And yet he gets the George McFly moment where he punches out Tim Curry and kills him in the water.
He kills him in the water, yeah. Poor guy. It's like, I hate Cardinal Richelieu for what he's done.
Sure.
But you can't punch him and leave him in water.
Better movie if he talked about sesame cake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wrote D'Artagnan becoming a musketeer. Shit feels earned. It's like when Aragorn turns into the king, becomes the king at the end of Return of the King. I'm just like, nothing has ever felt more earned.
Yeah.
Like, he put in the work.
Right.
He fucking did it.
It's about respecting the work. But I can't remember the line. Melissa Leo's crazed Oscar speech.
She's a weirdo.
It's about doing the work and respecting the artist. Or I don't remember, but it was... It was like watching somebody go crazy in real time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the moment at the end of the movie when they're like, no, you're a musketeer. Now we all fight together with Chris O'Donnell. I don't like when then 60 musketeers go chasing after the guy. I'm like, no, I just need the four. I don't need all 60 of them.
I'm good with the 60 because that guy had it coming. Sister just got it on with COD.
Right?
Yeah.
I get it. He's the bachelor.
Mm-hmm. Cut her life into pieces. That was her last resort. Anyways. I don't like the scene where Gabrielle Anwar is talking in the bathtub and she's talking to Julie Delpy because she's got a pillow and the pillow's getting all wet.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
I'm like, I don't like this bathtub pillow concept.
I don't support the idea of a bathtub pillow.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with...
I get annoyed when a bath mat gets wet.
Sure.
Let alone a pillow.
You do not want to shower after Charlie because I swear that kid does not towel off at all.
No.
Yeah, it's, you know, every once in a while I feel them pushing for a joke.
Yeah.
There's a moment, and more than one person quoted it as like a favorite line. Only a fool would blah, 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 blah. And then the guy does that thing. And then Charlie Sheen and Oliver Platt turn to each other and go, a fool. It's like, no, we got it.
Yeah.
We understood it with the editing.
It's not the best moment.
You don't need to say a fool. Like, it was funny when he does the thing. So they push for jokes every once in a while. But I do feel like the comedy, for the most part, is kind of woven into the tone of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And not grafted onto it the way it is so many like modern blockbusters where it's like we have a shitty action script, do a rewrite where you add, you know, 17 jokes.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they came up with it on the day where it's like they're chummy and they're just like, let me like rib you a little bit.
Right.
I will say this. If the Musketeers have performance reviews like we do at work and stuff, D'Artagnan's having a great year. Like, almost to the point where he needs to save some stuff for next year. Because, all right, he becomes a musketeer.
Yeah.
He kills the cardinal's top guard.
Right.
He just throws him off a roof.
Yeah.
He kills the sharpshooter assassin guy.
Okay.
And he kills Wincott.
Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, earned his spot.
Hooks up with Delpy.
Even though she's going to talk his ear off.
Yeah, right. They're going to listen to records together, though. It's going to be super romantic.
Mm-hmm.
But then years from now, they'll talk about getting divorced.
That third movie doesn't exist to me. It ends perfectly after two. I just imagine, like, he's talking about being a musketeer, and she's just like, did you ever think that our lives are a public access documentary? And he's just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She's the one character who's completely anachronistic.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So I wrote, I love this Ren Faire shit. Wagons of straw, kiosks of bread. Like, any movie that has wagons of straw, sign me up.
Have you seen a lot of adaptations of The Three Musketeers?
No. I think this might be the only one, because I didn't see anything preceding this. I didn't see Peter Hyams' The Musketeer.
It's real bad.
I didn't see The Three Musketeers that was Paul W.S. Anderson.
That one I did not see.
So, yeah, no. I'm more curious now to watch at least the Paul W.S. Anderson one.
I'm trying to make sure that I have the right one. Yeah, there's a 1948 one with Gene Kelly that's really good. That's, I think, the other really good one. I've never read the material. I have to believe this is not super faithful.
Like, probably not. Yeah.
But I don't care.
Did you read anything on like Wikipedia about this movie?
I don't think so.
It had some weird factoid in the reception section where it said that this movie, that they were really bullish on it pre-release because it had like some of the best test screenings Disney ever had. And then it's just like, but it was widely rejected by critics and audiences when it came out. And it had like a 30-something% Rotten Tomatoes score. Not that it's like this should be universally acclaimed or anything like that, but I'm just like, 30% for like something really, really bad. Yeah. Like, this is pretty damn good.
Well, according to Wikipedia, it made $111 million on a budget of $30 million, so I can't see it being widely rejected by audiences.
Yeah, I don't
know. Like they went to see it.
Sometimes. So, are you ready to hear
that Young Swords bullshit? Leonard Maltin, I respect you, but you're a hack sometimes.
Are you ready to hear the critics' quotes?
Of course.
Okay.
Swashbuckling fun.
All right.
All for one and one for all, says Lights, Camera, Jackson.
All for one and two for one. Bogo. Okay. Not to be missed, Jack Matthews, New York Newsday.
Sure.
Thumbs up, a whole lot more enjoyable than Robin Hood, Gene Siskel.
What a weird quote. I could see him saying it on the show.
Yeah.
But to pull that out and use it in the marketing is very weird.
Yeah. Like, suck it.
Better than that Robin Hood shit.
You know, that stupid movie that came out 2 years ago that you can't even see in theaters. So, all right. A hugely enjoyable romp. Bill Deal, ABC Radio Network.
Yeah, he's a hack.
Jeffrey Lyons, not a hack. Yes, he is. Sneak previews, CNBC. Loads of fun for the whole family. Take one and all. And then this is my favorite. This isn't from the critics' quotes.
Okay.
But it's from a review by Michael Wilmington.
Okay.
RIP. Formerly of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
So he had this sentence in his review. Plushly mounted, but ineptly written, and the cast gallops along like a gargantuan Tutti Frutti wagon running amok.
I mean, I'm seeing a movie with that description.
Yeah.
But what?
Exactly. I'm just like, these are just words. This is why people don't like critics.
Yeah, for sure.
But I also read that and I just turned into Captain Spaulding where I'm like, tooted, fucking fruited.
But like the word, so I'm guilty of this shit because the word I would use to describe this movie is fun. I think this movie is really fun.
Mm.
But a lot of times I bristle when somebody reduces a movie to fun because it's like, well, I have no recourse. I can't argue with fun.
No.
If you had fun, I can't tell you, no, you didn't. And I can't tell you why. Adam's pointing to where he wrote fun in his notes. Because that's what it is more than anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I remember watching, and I might have talked about this before, so I apologize. I watched an old episode of Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. And he went on, like, a 10-minute screed about Chud or some fucking movie and like laid into it and talked about all the reasons it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then his co-host, Darcy the Mail Girl, was like, I don't know, it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I was going to write a whole article about it because I'm like, but you're discrediting everything he just said by reducing it to like, I don't know, it's fun. Like, well, I can't argue with that. I'm not looking to argue with anyone, but so I don't always like to use the word fun to describe a movie, but like what word better describes this telling of the Three Musketeers?
Spirited.
Handsomely posh mounted or something.
Yeah. Chutzpah. Fucking fruity. But not capital chutzpah. Like amiable chutzpah.
But like good action.
Yeah.
Decent sense of humor.
Well directed.
good characters, great cast. Like, I don't know. This is why we like movies, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fun.
It's better than that Robin Hood shit.
I
like Robin Hood. I'm just kidding.
It too. Gene Siskel's just like, I've been waiting for this shade for 2 years. And then Roger's just like, shade him, Gene. Shade him.
Shade him good.
Yeah. It's like, what's his name in Pulp Fiction? Where he's just mouthing like, fuck him, fuck him. He's just like, shade him, shade him. Well, like, there's a gimp, and then, like, Siskel's writing his review. You know that's how Roger and Gene got down. Anyways, all right, you are ready for some better or worse?
Very much so.
Okay, all right. Three Musketeers, better or worse than the Stephen Herrick movies?
Okay, here it comes.
101 Dalmatians, you know, live action.
I've never seen it.
It's not that good.
Okay, so this isn't one of the sneaky good ones?
No, it feels more like a John Hughes movie, because he wrote it.
He wrote it, yeah.
And it's definitely like the third act is Home Alone, but with dogs.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not good.
John Hughes certainly found a formula, huh, in the 90s, where he was just like, oh, this really worked. I'll just do this for everything.
If it kept him away from teenagers for a little while, then it might not
Are we talking about writing about teenagers?
I'm talking about him being preoccupied with teenagers to a degree that's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Stephen Herrick, no. Three Musketeers or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Oh, fuck.
I'll probably go Three Musketeers, but I like Bogus Journey more than Three Musketeers.
Okay.
If it's Excellent Adventure, I'll take Three Musketeers slightly over Excellent Adventure.
Oh, that's so tough. I really like Three Musketeers, but I probably have to go Bill and Ted.
Okay. Three Musketeers or Critters?
Three Musketeers.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
That's the other one. Three Musketeers.
Holy Man.
Never saw Holy Man.
I never did either.
No.
Life or Something Like It.
Three Musketeers.
What I think is his worst movie, Man of the House 2005. It's hot garbage.
Is that the Tommy Lee Jones one? I know you guys did the reserve seating on it, but I never saw the movie.
Yeah. The Mighty Ducks. I'll go to bat for The Mighty Ducks.
It's like good for what it is, but I would take Three Musketeers.
Well, Three Musketeers is better. Yeah. But yeah. Mr. Holland's Opus, which I think is good.
Three Musketeers.
He did do
more like decent movies than I'm remembering.
Yeah, and Rockstar.
Three Musketeers.
Okay, all right. Better or worse than these November 1993 movies?
Ooh.
Okay, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Better.
Adam's Family Values.
I like Adam's Family Values.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
This is better.
The Piano.
Yikes. I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen all of The Piano.
Did you see the part where at the end Harvey Keitel just goes, and it's love you give, and then he's like, I thought you were mute, and she's just like, she can only sing All for One.
I did see the part where she was nervous about playing, and Harvey Keitel just kept going, you're gonna be okay.
Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Say it.
Say the goddamn fucking words. Say it.
So I'll pass on this one because I need to see all of The Piano.
Okay, Carlito's Way.
Fuck. We had it so good. Carlito's Way is probably a little better.
A Perfect World.
Jesus.
Yeah.
November 93, you're killing me.
Yeah. It gets worse later.
Perfect World is better.
My Life.
Three Musketeers is better.
Remains of the Day.
Never saw it.
Man's Best Friend.
Never saw it.
RoboCop 3.
Three Musketeers is better.
Look Who's Talking Now.
Three Musketeers is better.
Flesh and Bone.
I do love Flesh and Bone. Oof. Three Musketeers.
Okay. We're Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Never saw it.
The Nutcracker with Macaulay Culkin.
Never saw it.
A Home of Our Own with Kathy Bates and Eddie Furlong.
Never saw it.
Josh and Sam, which I still don't think has been released.
It's like S-A-M, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, never saw it.
Ernest Rides Again.
Never saw it.
Last Theatrical Ernest. A Dangerous Woman.
Never saw it.
Three Colors, Blue.
Never saw it.
32 short films about Glenn Gould.
Never saw it.
That's a good movie.
I took off a lot of November 93, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, and then finally, better or worse than these Caravan Pictures films?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Angels in the Outfield.
Never saw it.
Angie.
Never saw it.
Before and After.
Never saw it.
The Big Green.
Never saw it.
Celtic Pride.
Maybe saw it. This is better.
Dead Presidents.
Oof. Oof. Dead Presidents is better.
First Kid.
Never saw it.
G.I. Jane.
Three Musketeers is better.
Gone Fishing.
Three Musketeers is better.
Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank is better.
Heavyweights.
Three Musketeers is better.
House Guest.
Three Musketeers.
I Love Trouble.
Three Musketeers.
Inspector Gadget.
Three Musketeers.
The Jerky Boys movie.
Never saw it.
A Low Down Dirty Shame.
Three Musketeers.
Metro.
Ooh, Metro's good.
Metro's great.
Three Musketeers is better.
Powder.
Never saw it.
The Rich Man's Wife.
Three Musketeers.
Harlan Williams is Rocket Man.
Never saw it.
Richard Dreyfuss is Simon Birch.
You definitely talked me into seeing Rocket Man, though.
So good.
Never saw Simon Birch.
6 Days, Seven Nights.
Three Musketeers.
Tall Tales.
I'm sorry, Anne. Never saw it.
Washington Square.
If only somebody owned a DVD.
Of Tall Tale?
Yeah.
I don't have Tall Tale.
What's the one I'm thinking of? Oh,
Three
fuck.
Wishes.
Three Wishes. Sorry. As fuck. I said it.
I'm not some chud who owns Tall Tale.
As I was saying it, I realized I had the wrong movie.
I have a Squanto Warrior's Tale tattoo, but I don't own Tall Tale.
Squanto tattoo? Squanto. Tattoo like Popeye?
Yeah.
Tattoo like Popeye?
They're like, let's roll this out in 2,500 theaters. It's not going to work, guys. Washington Square.
Squanto should be like how you describe a movie that made no money. It's like, oh, that movie made Squanto.
I'm all for that. That's great.
What was the last one? I'm sorry.
There's two more. Washington Square.
Never saw it.
And While You Were Sleeping.
I love While You Were Sleeping. I'll take it over Three Musketeers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we are closing the book. No, just kidding. This movie was nominated for one MTV Movie Award.
Ooh. Best song from the movie.
Best song.
Lost two.
All right. So the other nominees were... The winner was Michael Jackson, Will You Be There, from Free Willy.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles from Benny and June.
Okay.
Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen from Philadelphia.
So far, I'm taking all these over Will You Be There.
When I Fall in Love by Celine Dion and Clive Griffin from Sleepless in Seattle.
All right, get that the fuck out of here.
And I Can't Help Falling in Love from Sliver.
From Sliver, fuck that. So there's three I would take over the winner, but I'm not dissing Free Willy or Michael Jackson's contributions to Free Willy.
That's okay.
But I would go Proclaimers. I mean, not in the top spot. I would actually go Streets of Philadelphia, then All for Love, then Proclaimers.
Okay. Yeah, I would go Free Willy, All for Love.
And then that's it.
And what are the other ones?
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. I don't really like that one too
much. It's not good.
Streets of Philadelphia is okay. It's not like one of my favorite Springsteen songs.
No, it's not one of mine either, but because of the way that I associate it with the movie. Although it doesn't make me immediately cry. The way Neil Young's City of Brotherly Love just destroys
me. That's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the way that it's used in the movie, it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah. I don't think I've... If you asked me what movie you've cried the hardest at, I think it's Philadelphia.
Okay. Because
the ending is just like... Well, the whole movie gets me. But like even when I see all the men who are sick and dying of AIDS, like, and then I don't know if they say this in the movie or in the credits, or if they say that, if they said somewhere where I read it, where it was like some astronomical number, like 80% of the men in the movie that were extras all died within a year of the movie being made.
God.
It was something like that. And I'm just like, I don't know. But also I might be, I don't think I'm alone in this, but I think, as good as Tom Hanks is in that movie, and he's incredible in that movie, I think Denzel Washington's even better in that movie.
Well, he's doing the Tom Cruise in Rain Man. He's got the harder job.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the easier job.
But it seems like because Hanks got so much attention for the Oscar for that, it's like people maybe at the time didn't give enough credit to Denzel Washington. So good.
So I saw Philadelphia at one Schomburg place with my mom, cried on the way home, didn't think about it for years, probably watched it on cable, was like, whatever. And then the last time I rewatched it was a couple of years ago and it destroyed me. Like I forgot how good it is.
It's just like that reel with him as a little boy at the end. I mean, So watch Three Musketeers, double it with Philadelphia. Or maybe watch Philadelphia first, then watch Three Musketeers.
Should there have been footage of young D'Artagnan at the end of Three Musketeers?
No, it should have been like young Cardinal Richelieu.
not learning how to swim.
Yeah, and he's playing like in a little pond.
Come, Cardinal, do you want to take your swimming lesson?
Never!
I'll have plenty of time for that!
What could happen? I got a bump on the head? Of course I'll always be awake enough to swim. Mommy, there's literally no chance that I will be unconscious in water or I will be at risk of drowning. If I thought there was even a little hair's chance of it happening, I would gladly indulge you and learn how to swim. But there is no way that this could ever happen. Who's going to do it to me? The King of France? We're friends.
Meanwhile, as he's saying all this, City of Brotherly Love is playing in the background.
It's just him, like, explaining for 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this was fun. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you very much.
We've had this show planned for a while. I don't remember why.
We missed the 30th anniversary last year. We were going to
fucked up.
Yeah, we were going to do this for the 30th anniversary, but hey, the 31st is just as sweet as the 30th.
Better late than never. And you've all been waiting for a 1993 Three Musketeers podcast starring
so good.
Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland. So here it is.
Hold on, starring your guy. Charlie
my guy.
Sheen.
Chuck Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
I need to look at his filmography and see what the holes are and fill them immediately. Like, I know I've never seen all of Beyond the Law,
okay,
where he plays the biker undercover.
Yeah.
I need to rectify that.
You should. I haven't seen it either.
No. Anyway, thanks, Adam.
You're welcome. Thank
you. This was fun. I don't know what next week's show is, but there will be one.
Sweet.
Go to fthismovie.com every day for cool movie shit. Go to youtube.com/fthismovie for reserved seating every Thursday. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on all social media at fthismovie. And we have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/fthismovie, if you like the show, if you're a fan of the show, you want to hear more, you want to support the show, please feel free to do so. We welcome any and all new Patreon supporters. Rob and I just recorded a show on The Insider as we do our 1999 series over on the Patreon. That should be up by the time this podcast comes out, so go over and listen to that. And we'll see you guys next week.
It is the year 1625. France is ruled by King Louis XIII, a boy of 19. The true power behind the throne, however, is Cardinal Richelieu, the king's council. Ambitious and cruel, his oppressive grip has made him the most feared man in France. All that stands between Richelieu and the throne itself is a group of men who have sworn their lives to protecting the king. They are his personal guards, dedicated to honor and loyalty. They are the Musketeers. Galloping.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.